Journey to Becoming podcast is all about the changes, transitions, and transformations we encounter on our journey to aligning with purpose and living life with intentionality, fulfillment, and impact. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and my mission is to help those starting their entrepreneurial journeys or simply shifting gears to better align with purpose by sharing the journeys of others, offering practical tips and strategies, and providing encouragement to help you pull through whatever obstacle is standing in your way. So I invite you to sit back, relax, and join me on this journey of discovery. Joining me today on the Journey to Becoming podcast is Mel Mason. Mel is an international best-selling author of Freedom from Clutter, the guaranteed foolproof step-by-step process to remove the stuff that's weighing you down. Known as the clutter expert, she is on a mission to empower people around the world to get free from clutter inside and out so they can experience happiness and abundance in every area of their lives. Welcome to the show, Mel. So excited to have you.
So excited to be here, Sabine. Thank you so much for the invitation. I love the opportunity to share my story because it's meant to be shared so others can learn from it.
Yes, it is truly a powerful story. So without further ado, Mel, if you wouldn't mind, just walk us through your journey of life and what has led you to now become the clutter expert.
Wow, what a loaded question. I will try to keep it as concise as possible because we're trying to condense, you know, I am 43 now. But anyway, so for me, I was that cluttered, messy kid. You could not see the floor on my room. I mean, it was piles of stuff, and it wasn't just stuff. It was trash too. Like, I was okay living in filth. To me, there was nothing on my radar that I needed to do anything about it. I wasn't thinking, oh, I should really get organized or I should really do something about this. I was kind of like, I don't want to be here. I don't even want to live my life anymore. So I didn't care about clutter. You know what I mean? And the only time it ever came on my radar was when my mom got mad enough and actually cleaned my room. Because she'd get mad, my room would get clean. But what inevitably happened was the clutter would come right back. It would go right back to the way it was, and then my mom would get mad again, and then she would clean it, and we would do this over and over again. Well, I didn't realize at the time that the outside is only a mirror of the inside, because at that point in my life, even at that young age, I was already littered with clutter. I was full of repressed emotions from trauma and loss. There was sexual abuse, emotional abuse. My parents divorced when I was four. There was, you know, resentments and fears and limiting beliefs and judgments and all that stuff. And through a chain of events, I lost my older brother to suicide at 15 years old. And it was a really traumatic experience for me. Not only did I lose him, but I was the one who found him and had to report his death to my father, to our father. And in the same moment, I inherited all of his belongings. The already cluttered 15-year-old kid who couldn't even deal with her own stuff had to now go into her brother's house and go through all of his stuff and make decisions about what I was going to keep or what I was going to let go of and who could have what. And I was already not in a good place in my life. So that was pretty much what just sent me on a downward spiral. And I was just hoping to get off the planet as soon as possible, to be quite honest. I wasn't expecting to stay here very long. Nobody expected me to make it to my 18th birthday alive. I actually got kicked out of my high school at the time, my sophomore year of high school, for being a danger to myself and others. Yes, I was a danger to myself and others and told I could not come back until I received intensive therapy. And what that looked like was me having to go live in a residential treatment center for adolescents that have emotional issues, and live there for the next year and a half. And while I was living there, I was introduced to yoga and mindfulness. And what I learned through yoga and mindfulness was how to be present for all of that inner clutter that had been accumulating from the trauma and the loss and all of that stuff. And as a result, that kid who was completely fine living in a mess and didn't even see an issue with it, just spontaneously started to clean my environment. I had to have clean, clear space. I could no longer tolerate the clutter. Because I was clearing the clutter on the inside, the outside had to match. It's law. as above, so below, as within, so without. It's called the principle of correspondence. Some people understand it as on earth, as it is in heaven, heaven being the inner, earth being the outer. So that made me realize that the outside is only a mirror of the inside, and you can change the outside all day long. That's why you can clear a surface, you can organize your closet, but in no time, it will come right back if you don't address the root. And my life took an interesting journey. I didn't know at the time that that was happening. I didn't even realize what had happened to me until I launched my business many years later. But I knew that my experience was meant to help others, and I knew that I would be serving others in some way. And so I didn't know what that was going to look like, but my life was following the breadcrumbs of spirit. First it was, oh, I think I'm going to be an energy healer, and I studied Reiki when I was 19. And then, oh, maybe I'm going to be a yoga teacher, and I took yoga teacher training in my 20s. And then, oh, maybe a little more energy healing training, I'm going to do theta and be a theta healer. And then lo and behold, I got an opportunity to take 6 months off and figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. And at that point in time, I loved creating order out of chaos and organizing things and having clean, clear space. And I had this background in energy healing, and I saw the show Hoarders for the very first time. And if you've ever watched that show, it's absolutely horrifying. Funny story, come full circle. I've been in an episode of Hoarders. We can talk about that later. But seeing that show, I was absolutely horrified, especially as an energy healer. People don't realize that all of those years of accumulation that people have, it's like their Great Wall of China. It's their defense system. You can't just come in and tear it all down or ask them to make decisions about every item in their home in a 4-day period of time. You actually re-traumatize the person and cause more harm than good. And then always the clutter would come right back, worse than it was before. So that made me want to create a company that first helped people not get to that point in the first place, but also help people get to the roots so that the clutter doesn't keep coming back. The excess weight doesn't keep coming back. You don't stay in those toxic relationships. You finally let them go. And that's what I do. I help people clear the clutter and gain clarity in every area of their life. And that's the journey that led me here.
Wow. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful journey. There's so much that I want to unpack there. So it sounds like the catalyst for change for you was being sent to that space or that treatment center where, you know, you got exposed to something different than what you had already experienced. Thinking back, is that at what point, I know you talked about, you know, you started to slowly change your outside, right? And looking back, you could see that, okay, that was because my inside was changing. But at any point in that process, you know, through learning yoga and everything else, was there something that clicked for you one day or, you know, during that period that says, you know what, where I'm at is no longer where I want to be? And then you started to make those changes? Or was it just kind of like progressive through the time that you were there?
I think for me, one of the first defining moments in my life was being 5 years old when my parents had already separated, and I didn't have really a dad around, and I was hanging with a friend of mine and her dad outside. And I just had this knowing come over me that we're all brothers and sisters because we come from the same father. And from that moment forward, my life has felt divinely guided. I'm sure it was before that, but that was my connection to spirit, to God, source, whatever you want to create it. And then God brought a bunch of people in my life that led me to him to learn more about him. And I was led into Christianity by people outside of my family, a friend of my mother's, not even family members. God literally brought people into my life that brought me into the church. And at that point, at 8 years old, I was a sponge. I had already had some sexual traumatic experiences at the age of 8, and I was just a sponge looking for answers. And I found answers in the church. And then my brother, when he committed suicide, I was told by the church that he was burning in hell because he committed suicide. And that was a very defining moment in my relationship with Christianity and my search for answers. And so being at the treatment facility and being introduced to yoga and mindfulness, I became a sponge for Buddhism and all kinds of Eastern philosophies. And one of the things that I realized really young, thank God I learned this, is that nothing is permanent. I was labeled with so many diagnoses and so many things, but because I had the belief that nothing is permanent, I didn't buy into any of those labels, and I felt unstoppable because I was walking with God. I knew that no matter what, there was nothing that was going to stop me. We're on this path. And I mean, that's really the defining moment, is realizing that nothing is permanent, that the only constant in life is change. There's nothing static about you. There's no you that's you all the time.
So talk to me a little bit more about this principle of correspondence and, you know, how people can begin to apply it in their own lives or be able to, like, really just dissect it to really understand, like, how they can start to make changes in their outward through the changes in inward.
Yeah, happy to. It's one of my favorite principles. We as humans, we can't evolve and grow unless we see ourselves. And we can't see ourselves without others. So everything outside of us is always mirroring us. It's how we see ourselves. The people and the way they treat us, the situations that show up in our lives, the clutter that accumulates, the excess weight, it's all only a mirror of what's going on inside of us. Everything is a mirror. So if you can just own that, and when you can own that and take 100% responsibility for your life, we have a chance at having peace on earth.
So with that, talking about hoarders, I remember watching the very first episode and I literally cried, mostly because I've had like traumatic emotional issues. And as I watched the show, all I could do was feel that person's pain. Like, I knew this is not about the stuff, like something's going on with that person. So I'm curious, like, what brought you to the place where you decided to be on the show? What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it's funny how things come full circle, because, you know, I saw the show and I don't even watch TV. That's hilarious. So when this opportunity showed up in my lap to be an assistant organizer on this on an episode of the show Hoarders near where I live, my first response inside was actually no. I didn't want to do it because of how I feel about the show. I don't believe in what they do. And I'm not big on TV. But there was also something in me that was like, I still need to follow this opportunity, because just the value of being able to say I was on the show Hoarders and what that does, it gets me booked on, you know, gets me booked places to speak, things like that. It has that kind of value. I didn't want to pass that up. And it was also a very eye-opening experience to really, what's the word I'm looking for? Validate my original feelings from years ago when I launched the business, because I actually got to see it in action. And I'm still horrified. We'll leave it at that. But I did get to climb to the top of a rat infested hoard, and it was the most rat infested property they have ever seen on the show that I got to be a part of.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about the work that you do today and how you're leveraging these experiences that you've had to help others who are in that same place or similar place.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, all clutter, whether it's stuff or excess weight or toxic relationships, underlie comes from one cause, an unwillingness to be present with oneself for your own experience. It all comes down to presence. Every time you let clutter accumulate, you're turning your attention away. You're avoiding. You're not looking at. And so what I do with my clients is I basically teach them how to be present with themselves consistently so they can start to get the results. And I work with my clients in a coaching capacity. So I do private coaching, group coaching. I speak on stages and teach workshops. And so I spend the majority of my time teaching them how to actually be present with themselves and stop running and start facing themselves. And most of them resist it quite fiercely. That's the first initial hurdle, is getting them to take the coaching and then watching the results start to unfold and then coaching them through what starts to come up, the inner clutter that starts to get revealed.
Okay, got it. Do you also partner with them to actually help them clear out the physical clutter as well?
Or is no, it just I don't actually go into people's homes. I don't know. I have processes that I can help my clients with. I have a step-by-step process that I developed as a result of getting through my own stuff that I share with my clients. And that's what's beautiful about what I teach, is I didn't read books. I didn't go to school. I didn't like say, oh, let's do this course or that. Everything I teach my clients is everything that I did to get the results that I have today. Like, I just teach what I did. That's it. If you can do it on your own and do it consistently, you'll get the results I get without a coach. But if you can't do it consistently, you need a coach.
Fair, Fair. Let's take it a little step back in terms of your identity, right? So you had mentioned earlier that as a child growing up, there are so many labels put on you about like, hey, you're this, you're that, you're that. How has your identity evolved, at least you, in terms of how you see yourself and what you believe about yourself over these last few years, now that you're, you know, no longer in that space or confined by those labels?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, it was definitely hard to handle having those labels put on you. I mean, some of them were borderline personality disorder, bipolar disorder, all these heavy mental diagnoses that were like these life sentences in a way, not like death sentences, but it's like this permanent condition that will never go away. And when it first hit me, it was really hard to take, but having that knowing of impermanence gave me the drive to overcome it. And I overcame all of it through mindfulness. That's why I'm so powerful, but I'm so, you know, just passionate about what I teach, is because it all came from mindfulness. Mindfulness is the answer to all of it.
Really appreciate you tuning into this week's episode of the Journey to Becoming podcast. Taking a quick break to extend an invitation to my Facebook group, The Tribe of Courageous Leaders. The group exists to support ambitious, impact-driven leaders in their development, both personally and professionally. As a member of the free group, you'll have access to weekly live trainings on topics ranging from mindset, time management and productivity, leadership, to money management and business strategy. The group is tailored for those who love to learn and want to do so with other like-minded professionals. So again, I invite you to head on over to SabineGideon.com/tribe to claim your spot, and be sure to catch the weekly live trainings on Wednesdays. Dates and times are shared and updated within the group, so be sure to join. I look forward to welcoming you to the community and have included the link to the tribe right down below in the show notes. Now, back to the show. And for those who are new to, you know, the practice or the study of mindfulness, can you just give us a high level overview of what that looks like in practical terms?
Yeah, it's super simple. It's actually being connected to your mind and your body, so you actually experience what it feels like to be you, because 99% of the time, you are not in your body. Your mind is somewhere else, and you are doing 50 million different things, and you're not in your body. I actually worked with a client where I just did a guided visualization, and I was guided to say, isn't it interesting that your head is connected to your neck? And when we were finished, she shared with me that that was the first time she ever realized she had a body below her neck. Mm-hmm. That was the first time she had ever connected to her body. Now, let me share with you, this is someone who extreme hoarding to the extent of filth, every room full, trash on the floor, dishes dirty, every surface, and extremely overweight. So that disconnection all comes from an unwillingness to be present with oneself. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper the longer and longer it goes. And so the more and more you avoid yourself, the worse it gets. So it's just learning to turn towards yourself and be present for your experience through connecting with your body and your breath, because it's your body and your breath that are always in the present moment. It's your mind that leaves. So if you can connect with your breath and feel what's happening and just be an observer and notice what you feel in your body, maybe a tingling sensation shoots down your leg, or maybe you notice your heart is racing, or maybe you notice your breathing is shallow, just noticing what the hell is going on in your body because you haven't been paying attention in a long time. Like, get curious. Because here's the deal. Let me let you in on a little secret. Because the outside is a mirror of the inside, right? What do we want from others in our relationship, in a friendship, in an intimate relationship? We want people's attention, right? We want them to pay attention to us. Well, if we want them to pay attention to us, what is that reflecting back to us? That we want our own attention. We need to pay attention to ourselves first, and know what we want and come from that place and make decisions. But you have to be present with yourself to even know what you want.
And that's powerful. I've learned over the last couple of years to really listen to my body. I was having a conversation with someone and I just felt, it wasn't anger, but like this frustration. And rather than just like mentally feel it, like I felt it in my body. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I hear you. I hear you. And it's such a powerful tool, tuning into your body and listening to what your body is saying, because it's easier to project whatever issue upon somebody else versus saying, okay, well, what am I feeling? They're triggering something, right? And my body is telling me that they're triggering something. What did they just trigger? What is it that I need to deal with or address or face that this conversation has given me the opportunity to do so?
Yeah. I mean, when you're not present with yourself, you're not even aware you're being triggered. You like just, you vomit or react. And then you realize after the fact that you were triggered. But when you can be present with yourself, you actually get to catch yourself. It's like, oh, I'm being triggered again. And you get to catch yourself before you make the action. We have the thought before we act. And there's this pause in between the thought and the action. And being able to be present with yourself, you learn how to be in that pause.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's for me, it's empowering, because the alternative would be like lashing out emotionally and completely losing control.
Done there, been there, done that plenty of times.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Welcome to being human. Accept all of you. Hold space for all of you, because it's not all pretty, but just be willing to love it all. Be present for all of it.
Love it. Are there specific things that you do or that you've incorporated in your life, whether it be through a daily routine, that has helped you, you know, maintain on this path of keeping the clutter out internally?
Yeah. First and foremost, it's my connection to God. Like, my connection to God is number one. My job is to just suit up and show up, like, to be of use. That's it. But in the morning, I have a practice that I teach my clients, and I tell everybody this, that this practice is the keys to the kingdom. If you do this practice consistently, you will not need my services if you do it consistently. But it's called allowing the now. It's all it is allowing the moment to be exactly as it is and witnessing your experience. So I do it for 15 minutes a day. That's all you need to do is 15 minutes a day. If that's too long, start with 5, start with less. If that's too much, meet yourself where you're at and just build from there, but just start somewhere and just make space for yourself. So I do 15 minutes a day. I make sure I have time to have, I read something spiritual to connect to God and have that time. That's my most important. And then I always make time during the day at some point to either go for a hike or a bike ride or get outdoors and connect with God more. So those are the two main things that I do in my life to keep getting the results that I keep getting. And my life keeps getting better and better. It keeps blowing my socks off, to be honest with you.
That's a good thing. So allowing the now, starting with a few minutes and creating space or creating time to spend with God. I love that. Couple last questions. You know, looking back on what you've experienced, what you've learned throughout these years, if you could go back to young Mel and share one piece of advice with her, what would that be?
To stay true to yourself. And not let your boundaries down for anyone else. You know what I mean? Don't shut your light down for anyone else. That's what I would say to her.
Okay. Don't shut your light down for anyone else. I love that.
Let it shine.
Yes. So you have a book, you obviously have your business. Like, where can the audience connect with you, find you,
and reach out to you? Yeah. And then just for clarification, it's like, my book isn't the bestseller. I'm a contributing author to a couple bestselling books, which may be the bestseller, but my book is not a bestseller. But you can get the whole book, the PDF, at freegiftfrommel.com. You just put your name and email address in and you get access to the whole book via PDF. That way you don't get any physical clutter you have to deal with. But you can find me at info@decluttering spaces.com or go to my website, decluttering spaces.com.
Okay, awesome. All of the links to connect with Mel on social, as well as her website and to grab a copy of the book, are included in the show notes. And before I let you leave, Mel, one last thing. Is there anything that is pressing that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the message that I'm driving home, is that you can be clutter-free in every area of your life. It's your birthright to experience happiness and abundance. And it doesn't mean you're going to be happy and abundant all the time, but it's your birthright to experience that and have access to that. God wants you to be abundant. If you're not abundant, you can't do his work. You kind of need to be abundant to do the work. So the only requirement for you to get free from clutter in every area of your life is your presence. Your presence is required. So make space for yourself and magic. Magic will happen. It happened magically for me. It happened from the inside out on accident. I wasn't attempting to get organized. It just happened by accident. That's why I'm so passionate about this. So make space for yourself and you'll make space for the magic to happen. Your presence is required.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Your presence is required. Mel, you have been such a blessing to me, and I'm sure to the audience as well. Again, ways to reach out and connect with Mel are listed in the show notes. Feel free to reach out to her and let her know that you heard her on the Journey to Becoming podcast. Mel, again, sincere gratitude to you for showing up and sharing your nuggets of gold with us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I hope you were able to grab a few nuggets and some action items that you can begin implementing this week. I'll be back next week with some more actionable tips to help you along your journey of transition, change, and transformation. In the meantime, please be sure to subscribe and leave a comment on the platform of your choosing. And if you really enjoyed this content, go ahead and share it with your network. Share it with a friend, a family member, whoever it is you know that might benefit from the information that was shared today. Until next time, have a wonderful and purposeful week.